We read together tonight a beautiful and familiar chapter in God's Word, Philippians chapter 4. Our text tonight on our prayer day service will also be the familiar and beautiful words of verses 6 and 7. Reading God's Word in Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Herodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you, and the saints, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, on a billboard along the expressway in South Carolina, somewhere around Columbus, are the words on this billboard, "No, N-O, no Jesus, no peace," N-O, no peace. And then underneath that are the words, know, K-N-O-W, know Jesus, know, K-N-O-W, know peace. Know Jesus, know peace. Know Jesus, know peace. Two words that sound a lot alike but are entirely different in their meaning, and a billboard that is dead on target. Our text speaks of the incomparable peace of God that shall be given to us through Jesus Christ, promised to be given to us through the means of prayer. Do you know this peace? Do you nod your head in faith with the Apostle Paul and you say, I know exactly what you're talking about prayer and peace. This, what is promised to us, is God's own peace. The peace of God shall keep your heart and mind. God is at peace. God is no worrier. God is not wringing His hands over the world and His enemies. God does not get up off His throne and pace back and forth worried. But He is in perfect peace in Himself. He knows by His power all things are working for His glory. And He promises us that we too shall experience peace in Him, settled, contentment, restful, quiet assurance that God is on His throne, that God is working all things in my life for His glory in Christ Jesus. Peace of God is something that fluctuates in our Christian life. There are times that we experience this peace more than we experience it at other times. There are often circumstances in our life. There are worries that compete with this peace and try to pull that peace off our heart and to place worry on our heart in its place. Our peace now so often waxes and wanes as our spiritual life progresses or digresses. Not only that, but this peace is something that we cannot be without if we are to be Christ-like. We cannot be Christ-like in our life, and we cannot be a proper witness of the Lord if we do not possess this peace. For it is this peace that is given to us that is what God uses to draw others unto Christ. No one is drawn to a worry wart. No one is drawn to us when we confess that we're a Christian. But we're like them. We're at our wits' end. We belong to Jesus Christ and we lack peace. But when it becomes known by God's grace that we have and are going through difficult circumstances, and yet they see a peace, a strength within us that is not of us, something incomprehensible, the world itself senses that it is incomprehensible, then a testimony is left of God. God is promising us tonight that He will give us what we need, peace, His peace, through prayer. This beautiful epistle is something that I trust, is an epistle that I trust you are becoming more and more acquainted with, in which we have this back and forth between the Apostle Paul as they love, and the Philippians as they love and care for each other. Paul is a prisoner when he writes in Imperial Rome. And he has told them repeatedly in the epistle, for they loved him, he has told them, I am truly okay. Here is the Apostle Paul who is confined. Here is a man who has lived his life wide open. Here is a man who has hopped from continent to continent, who has been on ships that sink, who has been beaten, who is constantly bringing the gospel, and now he is in stocks. Now he is confined. And if there was ever a time, he's an older man, if there was ever a time that he would begin to worry, if he would begin to relook and relive his life, he would begin to question and say, now how did I get into this mess? Lord, you have to get me out of this mess now. If there was ever a time, it would be then. But instead, he says, he had peace. He had the peace of God. The waters of his heart were still. He did not collapse. As he was about perhaps to be put to death, he did not stumble. He did not say, this is too much. But he said, I'm okay. I am content. I have peace. It's like sometimes when we go to the hospital or we go to a house where tragedy has struck, and we're wondering, what are we going to say? And we have come to help and to comfort. And we find the child of God in the hospital or in the tragedy is comforting us, because they know Jesus and they know peace. Let's consider for a few remaining moments promised peace through prayer. Promised peace through prayer. Let's see the panic we are to avoid. Let's see the prayer we are to offer. And let's see the peace that we are to enjoy. God says, first of all, to us tonight that there is a sin that we must avoid, a sin which is devastating to our Christian life. It is the sin of worry. We read, be careful for nothing. Literally, be anxious. Do not worry about anything. The word careful or anxious means literally to be pulled in different directions or to be pulled apart. And the idea is that your hope and your desires are pulling you in one direction, what you want, but the reality of your life and many things in your life are pulling in the very opposite direction. And you feel as if you're being pulled apart. There is stress. There is tightness. There is anxiety. You are being pulled in different directions. You feel fretful. You feel overwhelmed, distressed. Now, we often talk of other sins, and we see them immediately as sin in our life. Adultery, lust, lying. Sins that we realize immediately that they are sins. But the sin of worry is often something that we give a free pass. It's not as bad. What can you expect? But now, beloved, let's just think about that. My worry, my anxiety, is in reality a questioning of the sufficiency of God. At its root, my fretting is unbelief in His promise. In reality, worry is when I take my eye off God and look at myself. The word also be careful for nothing. That word also means to strangle or to choke. And I would have you remember what the Lord Jesus used this word in Matthew 13, verse 22, when he was speaking of the parable of the sower. And when he talked about the seed, the word of God, as it was sown among the thorns, and it did not take that deep root. And he said, "He that heareth the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word of God, and he becometh unfruitful. Worry, stress, anxiety chokes us. It chokes us even physically. It brings headache. It brings tension in my shoulders and neck pain. It can even bring a loss of breath and ulcers and lack of sleep and troubles with my digestion and spiritually. It seems as if the goodness and the joy and the blessings of God are squeezed out and the contentment. And then it can lead to exaggerated thinking. And things become bigger. And people become bigger, bigger threats. And we begin to spiral down into a black hole and we cannot find rest. We cannot find peace. When Paul, the apostle, says, do not be anxious, do not worry about anything, then God is saying, dear child of God, failure to obey now is sin. A failure in which I'm not trusting God, in which I can't believe that He's really in control, that He's going to really provide for me, that He will surely guide me. I look to myself. I see things through my eyes in this world. I reckon up my own puny resources. I look to people. I look to circumstances. I have taken my eye off my Savior, who's at the right hand of God, reigning over all things. I can't believe. Now, when we are told that we must not worry, this is not the same as saying that we then are to be careless. That's not what God is looking for here, that we become cavalier, that we become callous, that we become indifferent, that we become irresponsible. Que sera, que seri, what future is not ours to see, as that old song would have it. That's not how this works. There are things that God calls us to be concerned about deeply in our hearts. The same word, be not careful for anything, is a word that is used in a good sense. And Paul, in this epistle, is using this word in a good sense, to be careful. He used it in that sense in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 20, when he was talking to the Philippians of Timothy, and he was commending Timothy, and he was saying, I'm going to send Timothy to Philippi, and this is why, for I have no man who is like-minded with me, who will naturally care for your state. Timothy, says Paul, cares. He truly cares. He is truly concerned. The things of the Lord tug at his heart. The things of the Lord grip him. The things of the church and of your spiritual life are a deep concern to him. He thinks about them at night. Therefore, if we are simply thinking that we can be unconcerned and we can be indifferent, then we have as big a problem as when we worry. In fact, we have a bigger problem, because then there's a problem with the heart, and there's blockage in our hearts. But the sin of worry is when we do not focus on the Lord. When those circumstances have pulled us off the rock of trust, when we are seized in the hands of fear, when my concerns that I have and the love that I have in Christ Jesus imperceptibly now has fallen into anxiety and fretting, and now my worry begins to suck and to drain, and my eye is not on the Lord. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ said to us. The word, be careful, don't be anxious, don't be anxious, is not a word that is commonly used in the New Testament. The apostle uses it in Philippians, one other epistle that I know of, and then the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus used it 5 times in Matthew chapter 6, when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and take no thought. That's the same word. Be careful for nothing. Take no thought. It was the same word. The Lord was saying, don't be anxious. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. He's pointed to the birds of the air, and he pointed to the lilies of the field, and he says, your heavenly Father feeds those birds on this cold night. He takes care of them. Your heavenly Father will bring forth the lilies in the spring. He will clothe them. He will do that. Are you not much better than they? The Lord is saying, the heart of this is faith. O ye of little faith, says the Lord. You need to keep your eye upon your heavenly Father. And then he concludes with the words, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said, God will give you grace. He will give you grace today. Jesus did not say, God will give you a Jaguar in your garage. God will give you to wake up tomorrow morning and your problems are gone and it was just a dream. He didn't say that. He said, cast your fret at the feet of God, and God will give you grace for today. We cannot experience then the peace of God until we turn off the cold faucet of worry. What is there in your life tonight that brings more than just concern, that goes beyond that? You feel as if you're being pulled apart, and hope is being squeezed. What is it that draws your eye from God, creates within you a dreadful feeling? What is it that makes you think tonight that God is not sufficient for this? It makes you forget your heavenly Father, the God of all the earth, who has said, I will not suffer that your feet be moved. What are we to do with our worry? God says, pray. Pray. Prayer is the exercise of faith. The apostle says, Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests we're going to look at first, let your requests be made known unto God. Bring your prayer, your requests to God. That word request is connected to be careful for nothing. He's referring to exactly and specifically the things that would make us worry. Bring that to God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything let your requests be made known unto God. Stop worrying and pray about that thing. Those very things that are competing in your mind and competing in your heart with God's peace and trying to push the peace of God away from you, those things that are like an elephant standing on your air hose. You have oxygen coming into your nose through that little hose, and there is an elephant standing on that air hose, holding back from you the flow of the oxygen of God's peace. Those things that make you tremble, bring them to God. Now note with me, he uses the word nothing. Be careful for nothing. And in everything. And people of God, that means exactly what it says. Be anxious about nothing. Bring everything to God. That's what it means. We say, Lord, can't I be anxious about the big things in my life? The things that really matter to me? I have even grown used to worrying about it. The things that I have planned, I'll give up some things that I won't worry about anymore. God says, no, in everything, the cares of every circumstance, every situation, every threat, every difficulty, every fear, everything that would compete with the peace of God. But now look at the prayer that we are to offer. It's a very comprehensive prayer. Let's look now at those first three words. We're going to learn that prayer is not just tossing a few words up to God. What is prayer? By way of aside, ask, what is prayer? Ask the 8th and 9th grade young people of our church. If you're a parent of one of them, or if you're not, ask them. They wrote Monday night, they wrote their definitions, their own definitions from God's Word. What is prayer? Ask them. The apostle here says prayer is coming to the throne of grace and lingering long enough to place your burden before His throne so that you do not carry it back with you, and to praise Him. Three words. The first is prayer. But in everything, by prayer. And that's the standard word in the New Testament for prayer. And that word is a general word, and it refers to worship. And so all the elements of prayer are included in that word. Worship and reverence and awe. Every element of prayer is included. You could say that the whole Lord's Prayer, everything that Jesus taught us about prayer, is included in that one word, prayer. Prayer is seeking our needs. Prayer is forgiving one another. Prayer is asking to be delivered from temptations by prayer. And then the next word, and by prayer and supplication. And the root meaning of that word is to lack, to be without. It refers to the specific need in my life where I feel I am lacking, where I feel a need. Supplication is something that is specific. Supplication is not general. It is something that I feel. It is where Satan is attacking me tonight. It's what my soul needs. It's the things that are squeezing me now. Supplications. And then the apostle says, with thanksgiving, by prayer, with and supplication, with thanksgiving. The apostle adds that one, at least for this reason, because that's the one that we are prone to forget. With thanksgiving, lest our prayer get stuck on ourselves and our situation. With thanksgiving, so that our eyes are opened up before God and we see the reality of the goodness and power of God in my life. With thanksgiving, so that I see that my life is not as bad as my worries want to make it. I must acknowledge to God the things for which I am thankful, the things that He has given to me. And beloved, God has opened over every one of us tonight a window of His blessings, no matter. I say this in Christ because it's true. No matter your circumstance, no matter your difficulties, God has opened over each one of us as His children the windows of His eternal love in the blood of His Son. Satan's strategy with you and me is the same strategy he had with Eve. With the woman, he wanted to have her focus on the thing that she did not have. Eve was in paradise. She lived in a perfect world. She even had a perfect husband. Satan sought to direct her attention away from paradise and all that she had to what she did not have. And what she did not have, that one tree, that was very good that she did not have that, because what she did not have would bring her ruin. Satan wanted her to redirect it on the thing that she didn't have, and only if she had that. Satan seeks to gain the upper hand in your mind and in your heart by fixing us on that which we don't have. If only we did have. And so the apostle says, when you pray, you need to come to God with a truckload of thanksgiving. And you need to back that truck up and you need to open the doors and you need to unload that truck by hand from the beginning to the end. Each piece you put up, you bring out, and you put it down before the throne of God. You put it all before the throne of God. Everything that God has given to you. Count your blessings. One by one. And we will find that our blessings are so numerable in comparison to that thing that is giving us such stress. And sometimes we shake our head at ourselves, and we even laugh at ourselves, that we are so blind before all that God has given us. This is prayer. There is no shortcuts here. This is prayer. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, coming to the face of God in every situation of your life. And then, beloved, verbalize, articulate, speak words in your prayers. Say it out loud. Tell God. Tell Him your worries. And tell Him your thanks. Call upon Him. Peter puts it this way, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." God says, humble yourself. You're down. The rug has been pulled out from under you. Go to God, and He will exalt you in due time, at His appointed time. He will lift you up. And while you wait for Him to lift you up, cast your cares, same word, anxieties, fears, cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Cast your cares upon God, your worries. Our worries and our fears are not a joint project between us and God. It's not that you get on your side and lift, and God gets on His side and lifts. And then somebody opens the door, like moving a piano, and that's how you go through life with your carries. You and God. No. You take your worries and you cast them on God alone. Don't carry them. And do that because He cares for you. He cares for you. God is not going to take advantage of you if you humble yourself before Him. He will give you peace. So what is it that has become in your life that thing that is just weighing you down? It's a millstone. It's tiring you out. You are dragging it around. It's wearing you down. It's squeezing contentment out of your life. Cast it upon God in prayer. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That, says the Word of God here, is the result. The result, and the peace of God, this is a promise, the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, the peace that God owns, the peace that is of God, the peace within God Himself, you will be given to share. It will be given to you. It will be the grace of being calm in your heart, still in your mind, restful in your spirit, confident, content in your life. It will come to you from God Himself. You will be assured in your life of God's presence and of God's grace and of God's love about you. Paul says the peace that will come to you passes understanding, literally, surpasses the ability to comprehend. There's no explanation for this peace, because it comes from God. You could get a sociologist to examine a psychologist, to examine a Christian. And he'll scratch his head. It passes his comprehension. It defies what man is able to understand. It is the peace of God. It surpasses your comprehension. You will say, I ought to be stressed out. Before this happened, I was afraid that if that happened, I could never do that. I ought to be anxious. I feel the peace of God in my heart. Nothing has changed, but I feel the peace of God in my heart. The peace of God, passing understanding, passing human intellect, defying what man understands, the peace of God will be given to you. This peace, says the apostle, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Will keep. And that word is a military word. It means to be guarded by soldiers. And the apostle probably uses that word, is drawn by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, in inspiration to use that word because he was at this moment guarded by soldiers. He was guarded by the elite soldiers. The first chapter and the last chapter tells us that. By the soldiers of Rome who were Caesar's bodyguard. The elite of the elite were constantly guarding Paul, not just from escaping, but guarding so that no one could come to him except that which was authorized to come to him. They would guard him from all other human contact. Paul knew in the human sense what it was to be guarded so that no one could get to him. He uses that word. And he says, there is something guarding me. It's not Caesar's soldiers. There's something, Philippians, that is protecting me and watching over me, something that never sleeps. It's God's peace. And it's keeping me from every danger. It's keeping my heart and my mind, my emotions and my thoughts, my heart and my mind are surrounded by the peace of God. A battalion, a division, a whole army of worry and dread can't crack through that wall. I will lay me down in peace and sleep. For the Lord only maketh me to dwell in safety. The peace of God, keeping the heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus, he says. That is, it's all of grace. It's all through Jesus Christ. It's not of me, says Paul. It's not me pulling myself up. It has to do with the supernatural grace of God through Jesus, my Savior. It has to do with His cross. It has to do with His resurrection. It has to do with His ascension. There is not one drop of peace apart from Jesus Christ. There is not one moment of relief for any heart, anywhere, other than in Jesus Christ. There is not one second of being calm apart from Jesus Christ. There is not one minute of comfort apart from Jesus Christ. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. I point you to Him. I point you to Jesus Christ, the living Savior. He told you that He will give you His peace. He told you tonight He will. Through prayer, put Him to the test. And you will experience a peace passing understanding. Amen. And throughout the world, Heavenly Father, no peace apart from Thee. Peace only in Thee. Peace through prayer. Through Jesus Christ. For us weary, anxious, burdened, troubled sinners who have no place to go, but we may come through the blood before the throne, and we might receive the promised peace. Bring us there. Bring us there often. Bring us there tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.